Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Herman Simon. Herman is a world-renowned management thinker, consultant, pricing expert, entrepreneur, and leading authority on the Hidden Champions business model. He's the founder and honorary chairman of Simon Kucher & Partners, the world's leading price consultancy with over 1,700 employees and 42 offices worldwide. Herman is the author of 40 books in 30 different languages, including the worldwide bestseller, Hidden Champions, first published by Harvard Business School in 1996. Thanks so much for joining me today, Herman.
Hi, Diane.
So we're going to be talking about profit, which is such a huge topic. And I would really love to start with you explaining to the listeners what profit actually is.
There are so many different definitions of profit that it's really disturbing. For me, profit is only, I call it true profit, what the company or the entrepreneur can keep after he or she has fulfilled all obligations towards employees, towards suppliers, vendors, banks, the state, only what the entrepreneur can keep. So what we call net profit after taxes, after all costs. That's the only true definition of profit. Everything else is obfuscation and fogging. And there's one other definition of profit, which I really like. Profit is the cost of survival. So it's not something nice to have at the end of the year. It's like a cost which you have to earn, to plan, to budget from the very beginning. So what you can keep after having paid everything which you owe, and profit is the cost of survival.
Oh, that's great. I love that. So let's talk about the causes of profit weakness and what business owners can do about them, if you would.
Yeah. There are many causes of profit weakness. And in general, we must say that the true profits are much lower than people think. We did studies in Germany, the United States, and in Italy. In Germany, people in the street think that the net profit is 22% of revenue. The true number is 3.4%. In the United States, people in the street think that the profit is 31%. The true profit is a little higher. The margin is 4.9%. So there is a total misunderstanding of the profit margins. And behind the weak profit margins, there are a number of reasons. The first one is that you pursue the wrong goals. If you are revenue, market share, volume driven, you will not get the optimal profit. For instance, a case, Volkswagen, a large automotive company, for years pursued the goal to overtake Toyota. And they achieved that eventually in 2018, 2019. But the profit margin of Toyota is twice that of Volkswagen. So what is it good for to become number one in terms of cars sold of unit and have only half the profit and half the market capitalization. So wrong goals are one cause. Another very important cause are overcapacities. If there are overcapacities in an industry like in hotels, sometimes in airlines, in many industrial sectors, the profits are always very low. Why? Because everybody tries to get the new order, the new project, and offers prices in order to employ his workforce. That leads to destruction of profit. Another cause is to be in the wrong industry. Look at airlines. How old are airlines, or is the airline sector? Roughly 100 years. Cumulatively, the airlines have not earned a profit in 100 years. In some years, they are profitable. In other years, they make losses. If you sum it up, there's no profit. And so there are many, many, many other causes which a company may not have under control. For instance, high taxes. If we look at an international comparison, one of the countries with the highest net profitability, as I defined it, is Switzerland. And the reason is that the taxes are lower in Switzerland than in Germany. Other conditions, industry structure are similar, but in Switzerland, the net profit is 8 to 9%. In Germany, it's only a little less than 4%. And I could give you a dozen other causes, for instance, conflicts between various business functions, between sales and marketing, between finance and production. If they do not align their goals, pursue different goals, then it's very unlikely that a company will achieve the optimal profit.
So this is so interesting for me. It when you were talking about the airline and you said, you know, in the wrong industry, go a little further with me on that, because I want to make sure the listeners understand. Okay, so they haven't been profitable. So does that mean that the airline industry is not a profitable industry? Should it be handled in a different way? Or are they just not operating it in the best way?
It's probably both.
Okay.
Some people say that certain entrepreneurs love airlines, love being a pilot or something. So that money is flowing into the airline industry in spite of the fact that the profitability is so low, because it's personal subjective preferences. Another problem of airlines is that the marginal costs of a seat are zero. If a plane flies with empty seats, the seats are there and the costs are not higher. If the seats are occupied, a little higher, but you can neglect that. And this means marginal costs define the lower price limit. The lower price limit for an airline seat is zero. I just had a visitor and he said his daughter flew to Egypt for 45 euros. Euros is approximately the same as a dollar. For 40, so it's better for the airline to sell an empty seat at a very low price and fill the seat instead of flying with the empty seat. But what does that cause? And that is another very, very important factor of low profitability. This causes, of course, price wars. Price wars are very effective profit destroyers. So they offer 45 euros. The competition also goes down, and then both are at very low prices in a price war. And at Simon Kucher, we do regular global pricing studies where we interview managers from up to 50 countries. And on the average, 59% of the companies say they are in price wars. And the worst country is Japan. In Japan, 84% of the companies say they are in price wars. And interestingly, Japan is, over the years, the country with the lowest profitability. So you see the causality there. Japanese are market share driven in particular. Toyota is an exception.
I'm sorry, who's an exception?
Toyota. I mentioned that Toyota twice as profitable as Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Toyota is actually not a typical Japanese company. Typical Japanese companies are very market share driven, so not so much profit driven. And they are all the time engaged in price wars, which destroy profits.
This leads me to a question about companies going public, which happens in the United States constantly. So why is it that, what is it, more than 80% of U.S. companies go public without ever having turned a profit?
Yeah, because they have been growing very fast. And to many investors, growth seems to be more important than profit. And we experienced that already in the first internet crash 20 years ago, and also again in recent years, that companies which can double their number of customers in 3 months or in half a year and report big growth rates, and they then, which I think is a deception, they report fake profits. I don't give names of companies here, but some have community adjusted earnings before everything. So they include, for instance, the cost of customer acquisition, marketing costs, because they say that's an investment into the future. So there's a lot of misleading information and misunderstanding on the side of the investors. On the other hand, we have to admit that companies like Amazon, they were not profitable for 20 years, but they were growing year after year. So they have a good future, and there an investment makes sense. But that's not true for many of the companies who go public, collect money. There's one case from Germany. They went public at Nasdaq last year, got a market capitalization of $3 billion, and now they are at about 300. So they've lost 90% of the value. And I think this case is also deception, that the company creates hopes, communicates in a way. They even don't have any revenue. It's just hope and promise, and people are too much trusting, too naive, and invest in these promises which often do not materialize.
Yeah, because they want it so bad. They see it happening and they think they want to get on that train.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And I mean, if you were on these trains with Apple or Facebook 20 years ago, you're rich today. But there were also dozens and hundreds of others with a similar starting position who do no longer exist, who have simply evaporated.
Yeah.
The world's best known investor and Wall Street expert, Warren Buffett, once said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." Mr. Buffett's quote is remarkably accurate, but how many people would rather receive advice from him than someone simply guessing? Welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, your single source for Wall Street knowledge and profitable guidance. Please join me, Todd Schoenberger, and fellow trader Tobin Smith, as well as host Veronica Dudo, for a podcast known to move the needle for investors. Tobin and I are seasoned Wall Street executives with deep investment experience, and we are prepared to share our advice to those who choose to listen. Download Buy, Hold, Sell today on the Evergreen Podcast Network or your favorite podcast channel.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
What are Germany's hidden champion businesses? What is that?
Hidden champions are mid-sized companies which are global market leaders and little known. So my formal definition is a company which is top three in the world in its market, has a revenue of less than $5 billion and is not known in the public. And in my opinion, among the hidden champions, you find many, many of the best companies in the world, but nobody knows them. Let me just give you one example. You probably never heard of LSTM.
No.
But are you using Siri from Apple or Alexa from Amazon occasionally? You know it at least.
Sure.
The software behind these systems is LSTM, which stands for long short-term memory. And this software is installed on more than 3 billion smartphones. Well, let me let you make a guess. How many suppliers does Apple have in Germany?
I don't know.
Any guess? Give me a number. I am a quant guy.
20.
How many?
I'll say
suppliers, 20. Vendors does have Apple have in Germany?
Yeah, I'm going to take a guess and say 20 suppliers.
767.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine that? And you don't know any of
them. Any of them.
LSTM is one of them. And behind that is a more fundamental issue, a lack of understanding what the economy is. Mm-hmm. If I ask people, what is for you the economy? They say, yeah, that's automotive and Google and Facebook and a big aircraft, perhaps Coca-Cola. That's not the economy. The economy exists of thousands of markets. Let's just take a number. Let's assume there are 20,000 separable markets, may also be 100,000, just to have a number. Of these 20,000, only 100 or 200 markets are large markets. And the remaining 98% are specialized niche markets. As you see, 767 suppliers from Germany are in Apple products, but you don't know any of them. You think it's all Apple. So the hidden champions operate behind the curtain of visibility, but that is the largest part of the economy. The value chains are very deep, and you only see the surface of the end product. And this is the strength of the German economy. Our per capita exports, for instance, are five times the per capita exports of the United States. And practically all that comes from the hidden champions. We don't have McDonald's or Coca-Cola or Procter & Gamble, but we are operating behind the curtain of visibility. And that's actually my newest book, which came out last week, Hidden Champions in the Chinese Century. Because the Chinese will be our toughest competitors, not the Americans. Sure.
So, okay, so this sounds to me like the best industries to be in are these industries that are like support, that are behind the scenes, that aren't making all, that people aren't aware of, that aren't making all the, you know, media splashes and going public and all of that. Is LSTM a private company?
Most of them are private companies. Okay. About 10% are publicly listed, but 90% are not publicly listed. However, it's not easy there. You really have to be very, very good. You have to be excellent.
Yeah.
And the three pillars of the Hidden Champion's success are, first, the ambition to be the best in your market worldwide. And many say them that even explicitly. We only do it if we are the best in the market worldwide. How do you achieve that? By focus. Only focus leads to world class. If you dissipate your competences, you will not become the best. And then focus makes a market small. How do you make it big? By globalizing. If you globalize, each market has a certain size, which is sufficient for a mid-sized company.
Okay. So I just love this concept, because focus really is, I mean, so many businesses try and be all things to all people, and they dilute the message, right? And it just, it doesn't work. You can't be.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Only focus leads to world class.
Yeah, right. Right. So I listen to that and I think, okay, so any company then can have a healthy profit margin if they're focusing on the right things and in the right places.
If their competencies lead to higher value, true value for the customer. If we talk of pricing, the topic of pricing is not price.
It is value. I have been asked this question thousands of times. This is an old wisdom, because the Romans in their Latin language have the same word for value and price, namely pretium, like in precious. And only if you deliver higher value to your customers, you can charge a higher price. So profit, price, value are very closely connected, and the Hidden Champions simply deliver higher value.
Well, because isn't that what they think of first? I mean, I think a lot of companies make the mistake of thinking about price first, right?
That's the point. I said ambition to be the best. Ambition to be the best is, of course, about value, that you offer the best, the highest value to your customer.
Right, right. Yeah, I totally get that. My question is about these concepts of purpose and stakeholder. Can you talk some about what those concepts are, and do they really work?
Of course, that's a very hot current discussion. The traditional shareholder value concept says that you should orient your whole activities to increase shareholder value. And in recent years, we have this stakeholder value concept, which says that customers, employees, the community have also to be observed in your activities. And I think that is not a contradiction. I mean, it's stupid to think if you don't do a good deliver value to your customers that you will create shareholder value. So it's for me not a contradiction. Many people who want to build up contradictions or argue against capitalism say stakeholder value is better than shareholder value. Any reasonable entrepreneur has always provided value to the customers, has treated the vendors fairly, paid taxes, etc. So for me, it's not a contradiction. I think this contradiction is made up artificially by critiques of the market economy of capitalism. And I have a very nice sentence from the second dean of the Harvard Business School, Professor Dunham. He said, we want to educate leaders who make a decent profit decently. Making a decent profit decently. I think that's a good motto for profit orientation, for entrepreneurship, but also for treating your customers and your vendors fairly.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, right. And I love this. I'm so glad I asked the question, because I think way too many business leaders don't see the connection between treating their employees well and the profitability of their, you know, they think those things are at odds with each other, and they're not.
Yeah. The largest automotive supplier in the world is a company called Bosch. It was founded by Robert Bosch more than 100 years ago. And he said, I am rich because I pay my workers well. And that is, by the way, also similar to what Henry Ford said in connection with the Model T. My observation is, and I know a little bit of the economy and have visited, seen, consulted to thousands of companies. Companies who are doing well in terms of profit also treat their employees well. And the ones who incur losses, who are not profitable, also treat their employees badly. They have to fire people. They don't create new jobs. They pay lower wages, etc. So it's actually consistent. If a company is making decent profit decently, it's also treating its employees decently. I would say that's true in 100% of my experience.
Do you think all of this has anything to do with what we're seeing today with companies not being able to hire?
That is a new, very prevalent, very serious bottleneck. And that has to do with demographics. For instance, in Germany, we had 1964, for instance, 1.4 million babies. In recent years, we have 700,000, half the number of babies per year. And now the baby boomers are going into retirement, and only half the number comes into the labor market to pay their pensions and to replace them. Of course, we have also had a lot of immigration, which fills the gap. But this will increase the value of labor, especially for top talent. So for young people who are qualified, who master something, the prospects are very good, actually.
That is so, wow, that's great. I had not looked at it that way. The only thing I had looked at from a number standpoint was the number of adults who have died in the past couple of years from the COVID epidemic, and how much larger that number was from normal years. And thinking, you know, if any of that played into it, but I wasn't thinking about the population growth or lack, you know, or shrinking.
No, the number of people who died more than in an average year is not that high. And these were, that's a little sarcastic. Most of the people who died from COVID-19, they're old people. So
they weren't working anyway.
Pensions, and actually they save the social system money. That's doesn't that's sound so nice, but that's the reality.
That's really interesting. I never would have thought of that. Wow. I get it. I totally get it. Thank you for that. That is so great. I mean, not great, but you know what I mean. So I so love this information, Herman, and I think it is incredibly valuable for people to pay attention to. I always say, I mean, I think one of the biggest problems is too many companies focus on revenue and not on profit. And so they're making money, but they're spending too much of it, and then not being able, you know, not figuring out what's going on. So thank you so much for spending this time with me. Will you let the listeners know how they can find you and how they can get your latest book, please, or anything else you think they should know?
The simplest way to find me to get the most recent information is to go to HermanSimon.com. Herman with two N, Simon.com. There you find all the recent information, the new publications and videos, audios, etc.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I think this was really tremendously valuable for the listeners. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.